When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. I am here. I'm unmuted. It's fine. It's all good. It's all fine. It's all good. No issues. No dramas. Hopefully everyone can hear us. Sam, say a few words. Let's check the sound levels.
I feel like all I've done is say a few words for you to check sound issues for the last half an hour or so. Hi, everyone. How are we all?
We've done multiple recordings. I've reset all the settings. The stream was fine this morning on the one I did. Sam's here. If anything, you were too quiet this time, but now we think we've synced it up. So I'm just going to wait for a comment in the chat just to let me know that things are okay and that we're live as well, because that's also another problem that we've had. during this. Like I said last year, I did these for like five years. Oh, Stephen Ty, the sound is excellent.
We win out. We won.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yay. Oh, good grief. Thank me.
Damien Brains. Yeah, you've been filling around with your settings. I've got you to download a weird program. We've been messing with volumes. It's too perfect, says Kamadar. Thanks, everyone, for sticking with us last week. You might have noticed I was a bit stressed last week. You were just in hysterics.
Just lost the plot last week, honestly. I got to the point where I was like, I don't even know if this is worth doing. Like, yeah. are we even adding, apart from comedy value, were we actually even adding any value last week? What was funny was then I went on the Deadline stream with David and the sound was all fine and everyone was commenting like, why is your sound fine here and fine with ours? And I was like, I don't know. But even when I saw you on Sunday, you were still stressed about the sound of the stream.
It's annoying. Like, you know, people laugh and some people say, how are you still having problems and stuff? And like, it is stressful. Like, you want to go live and for everything to be working. And it's, you know, when it doesn't and you're live and you're trying to change things on the fly and you don't know what's wrong, it's really stressful. But I think it was a bug with OBS because I've reset everything and now it seems to be working. So we're professional. We're here. The sound's perfect.
We're professional.
Yep.
Has said no one about us two together ever before. We either flirt, apparently, or have tech issues.
There's no in between. It's one or the other. do get your questions in for us. It's a big game week. I mean, as you can see from our ranks, don't listen to a word I say. Sam's 46K in the world. You know, even called Pape Sarr last week, getting attacking returns as a 4.5 bid. Absolutely incredible. So we're here to answer, you know, all the questions that you have going into game week four. Jack Turr says, first time catching us live. Welcome. Welcome, Jack. Welcome to the stream. Abdullah says, Champions League draw in an hour. Who are you hoping Spurs get? Oh, whoops.
What about Brighton? Who are you getting?
Hey, don't. We've already nicked Nick Fatty off you.
Yeah,
Fatty boom,
we've got to go and try and get Brennan Johnson now, haven't we? Like, yeah. Suddenly that, like, because there was a lot of chatter in the Spurs community yesterday about, you know, were we just in for Fatty because we were trying to get Brennan Johnson slightly cheaper on a better deal? And then I was like, well, we have to now because he wants to go to Brighton instead of Spurs. So if that is what we were doing, it's backfired terribly on
us. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but you would have made the league a worse place with you know, if you'd not had Fatty and Gross in the same team. I'm going to keep recycling the same joke, but Dunk, Fatty, Gross, you know, Solly, that guy Welbs up front. It is Stag Do FC.
Wow.
Bruno, yeah, we had a few years ago. It's you know, Butters. We had Guy Butters back in the day. You could make a brilliant 11 of Stag, you know, Stag Do players out of Brighton players. Claire FPL, first time catching us as well. Hello, and Ez MB says, can't believe the Champions League is back at Newcastle. I hope they get a big team in the groups. Big night.
Why just one? Let's hope they get multiple big
teams.
Well,
yeah, but I hope they don't get, like, they should do, right?
I mean, I don't want them to go out, but, like, let's hope that they get, like, I always think that, like, when Spurs are in it, I'm always like,
yeah,
I want a draw we can get out of, but also a draw that's going to be, like, proper good Champions League nights at the Lane, you know, like, good clubs come in to visit, really great away days.
Gareth Bale versus AC Milan, was it? Was it?
Yeah, exactly.
Just absolutely terrorise them.
Yeah, you've got to hope for good draws, like, yep. good draws that you can get out of, but also not terrible fixtures that, you know, is not, you want the good nights.
Yep. Absolutely. Right, let's take some questions. We've got quite a few coming in. Do get them in as we go. Let's go with this one first from SMB. What to do with Diogo Jota? Is it time to sell for Maddison, Sterling or someone else?
That's a good question, because actually I think Jota's actually the one Liverpool player that I've been really impressed with, like, this first part of the season. Like, I don't know that I would be that keen to sell him. But the reality is that I think with your midfielders this year, you're going to have to make sacrifices, aren't you? There's going to be players that actually are actually playing okay, but then the fixtures aren't there, or the form for their team isn't necessarily matching theirs. Whereas you could go for somebody like Maddison and Sterling instead of him. So I think whilst I'd be reluctant against an Aston Villa defence that has been leaky in this early part of the season to sell him, if you haven't got either Maddison or Sterling, then selling Jota for them makes sense. As long as he's your worst midfielder, I think that's the way you've got to look at the midfield five this year. You've got to look at who's your worst of those five and then look to move that one on as your changeable, because you're never going to have that, like, benched option in midfield. It doesn't feel like that anyway.
Yeah, he would be a sacrificial lamb for me, I think, if I had him. Because, I mean, I'm looking at players like Marcelli, like Odegaard. Obviously, I've got Richarlison in my team. There's people selling players like Matoma as well. But I think Jota would probably be one that I'd be looking to move on. And it's a shame. I don't like to recommend sort of selling players who are a little bit different, right? And, you know, if you're selling Jota for Maddison or Sterling, you're basically doing what everyone else is doing. But there's risk with him, isn't there? I mean, Darwin just come in and scored two goals as well. Was he unfit to start the last game in little injury?
Yeah, he came off the bench, didn't he? Because he'd picked up that little bit of a knock. I mean, I think I was impressed by him, though. If we take the Liverpool game and look at who played well in that Liverpool team, there weren't that many that actually impressed me in that one. Darwin did when he came on, but Jota was one that he was getting in all the right places. He was in, you know, I think he's going to probably be the one that I look to when I want to reinvest back in Liverpool again, unless Darwin continues to play well. But even then, I'm not convinced that Darwin's going to continue to get starts. I think he looks like a really nice impact sub right now, and he would have to repetitively impress Klopp, I think, over the next few weeks in order to get that starting spot back. I think Darwin, he's not a better pick right now than Jota, Diaz and Salah. I think those are the three that Klopp prefers up top.
I mean, Jota came off the bench, didn't he, against Newcastle in that game, and they're signing more midfield options. I mean, that pushes Gakpo a bit further up top. Does that kind of I just don't like that uncertainty around that. I mean, I say that with Phil Foden in my team, who's also very kind of uncertain to start. But, you know, I'm looking at that front line, and Jota looked good when he came on. Darwin obviously looked good when he came on as well, got the two goals. You've got Salah there. You've got Diaz, who was unfortunate to come off, wasn't he? He came off because of the red card. He's a sell for me, but it is a hard sell because he's someone a bit different. Yeah. I don't like selling players who, you know, who are kind of, you know, 2% owned or whatever Jota is. He's probably more than that, but yeah. I think, so we're both saying reluctant sell, yeah?
I'd be reluctant if I don't. I think if you don't have Maddison or Sterling, reluctantly I'd sell Jota, as long as you don't have somebody like Richarlison in your team who's worse than Jota. If he's your worst of your midfielders right now, then yes.
Yep. We have a hub spy in the chat, Jack the Redditor. But he has called me attractive, so, you know, we'll let him off.
I mean, to be fair, right, now I'm going to be accused of all sorts of outrageous flirting now, but your hair is looking absolutely beaut right now.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much.
Last week, the haircut you had, it is great.
That's good.
Yelena, apologies if you're in.
That's getting clipped. New barbers, actually. New barbers. You know when
it's great.
You know when you go to a new barbers for the first time, you're not sure what you're going to get. They did all right. It was a bit of a weird atmosphere in there. They were talking to me about some weird stuff that I won't repeat on this stream, but it was, yeah. I don't know whether the haircut's worth the level of banter I had to step up to compete with the hairdressers.
Well, look, I mean, the comments in the chat clearly suggest that it's worth you tolerating that with some earplugs in next time you need a haircut.
I love these streams. I really do. I feel so good about myself. Let's have a look at Martinelli. He's the other one that people are looking at. We've got Avril Tandon in the chat. Is it worth a -4 Martinelli out, Madison in. And I saw another one from Dave. I'm taking Martinelli out. Who's best to bring in for this week, Madison or Bowen? First question, Martinelli out. Thoughts on that?
You see, the problem I sort of have is that if Jesus is back in from the starting 11 for Arsenal, then I think Martinelli becomes a really nice option again, because Martinelli is made better by Jesus being there, in my view. The difficulty is that it's a game against Manchester United. Now, I think there's been a lot said about selling out your Arsenal and your Manchester United players this week because of the fixture. But both of these teams have looked relatively decent in attack. I think for Martinelli, for me, this would be a difficult sell, because once Jesus is back in that starting 11, I think he starts to perform in the way that we saw last season. But right now, I'm not convinced that Gabriel Jesus gets the start in game week 4. I think he'll probably go with Nketiah in this one and then bring Jesus on for some game time, depending upon how that game's playing out. So, yes, I think selling him right now for a Madison or someone similar makes a lot of sense, particularly as once Jesus is back, you could then look at going for Jesus as your second Arsenal attacker instead, free up that space in midfield so that you can stay invested in the likes of Madison.
Yeah, the issue is that the Arsenal attack isn't clicking, is it? I mean, I've got Odegaard, for example. I mean, his stats are...
You doubled up?
Yeah, so I've got Saka and Odegaard. A lot of people have got Saka and Martinelli. It feels like one mid is enough at the moment. And this might be the week to sell them, given they've got a potentially difficult opposition in Manchester United. You never really know what can happen in these big games. There could be goals galore in it. I think it's a difficult choice with Martinelli. Again, I think it's similar to Jota. I think if you haven't got other fires to put out, I think Madison, Sterling, and Mbeumo, I think they're upgrades on Martinelli. So it would be a move that I'd be looking to do. But would I do it for a hit? I don't know. I don't know if I'd do it for it. He's got Everton next week.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, isn't it? Is that you've got to look beyond the game. Now, with Madison, actually, the fixtures for the next couple are really nice because it's Burnley and Sheffield United, so two newly promoted back-to-back. So maybe over the course of those 2 weeks, even with Martinelli playing against Everton the week after, probably the hit levels out. But you do have to kind of think a bit... I think you do have to be a little bit cutthroat with your midfielders. You do have to think about rotation and about potential for huge returns. I mean, this week, I would say that Madison has got potential for a much bigger return than Martinelli has. Again, goes back to what you said. It depends upon what kind of Manchester United we see. Anything could happen, it feels like, in that game. And it did. I mean, last time around, it was 3-2, I think, wasn't it? So there is potential there for quite a high-scoring game. But like you say, Arsenal attack hasn't exactly been firing exactly as we would want it to be doubled up with your investment. And I think if you've already got Saka, taking him out makes sense. That doesn't mean that I don't think Martinelli or Jota will return, by the way. It's just that you're replacing them with a player that's got increased potential to return more.
Yeah, it's a really tricky one, because Martinelli is still a good FPL option. Jota, I think, is still a good FPL option. It's just trying to work out where the next level is. I don't think I'd do it for a hit. I think I'd give Martinelli the next two. Jesus is back, given that Zinchenko's coming back. I think for Odegaard, I think it's a bit different because we're seeing him play so deep. Whereas we know Martinelli is still going to get opportunities and get chances.
Yeah,
I think I wouldn't do it for Martinelli for a hit.
See, I think I might.
Okay.
For somebody like Madison and how important he is and the set piece threat and all of that stuff, I think I'd be inclined for the next two to do it, and then revisit after game week 5 and see where the land lies with Arsenal.
And would Madison be the player that you'd get over Sterling, over Bowen, over anyone else?
So Bowen for this week, I think, looks incredible. Like if you're wanting to take a one part, like if you're planning to wild card in international break, I'd go for Bowen against Leicester this weekend. Like, he's been fantastic away from home, as we saw at the weekend this season. He is outperforming all of the other West Ham midfielders. He's right up there in terms of total points scored as well so far this season. So if you're looking for a 1 week punt, then I think it's a straight shootout between Bowen, Madison and Sterling. And I think Bowen he's up there. I think Madison and Bowen would be my two preferred. If you are looking for like a slightly longer hold, then I think it's Madison, followed by Sterling and then Bowen in third.
My advice to you, Dave, And Avril is, listen to Sam. If she says get Bowen, you bloody go out and get Bowen. Don't listen to me telling you to keep Martelly. Go out and buy go out and buy Bowen. That's my advice.
Well, get Madison if you're looking for a long term. I mean, if you're taking a -4, then you're not wildcarding next week. So I'd go Madison in that case.
Yep. Nice. Okay. I have got a bone to pick with you now.
Oh no! What have I done?
You know what's coming. Right, we've had a super chat from TomTom977.
Okay.
It's about Richarlison.
It's Richie. It's Richie time. It's time to rip the band-aid off, Az.
Seems to be Tom thinks that Richarlison's going to be injured. He's injured or he's going to be dropped with Son playing the nine. Is now a good time to do rash? We'll come on to Richarlison in a minute. Okay. But what do you think about getting in Son this week?
I wouldn't. I think if you want to invest in Spurs, it's Madison all day long because of the route to points. There's absolutely no guarantee, by the way, that Son is on penalties either. And I think there's a lot of chat in the community right now that says that Son's going to take penalties for Spurs. I don't think there's any guarantee that that's the case. My view is that there are a fair few of them out there who could take penalties for us. And it might be that there's kind of a bit of a roster that goes on or that they discuss it on the pitch themselves. It might be a bit like seems to be happening at Arsenal with a, well, you're the penalty taker, but if you're not feeling it, then there's these other options that could take it. I think with Son, if he does play him in that number nine, as a false number nine, I don't think that that will immediately, straight away, necessarily pay dividends for Spurs. Like, I think that will mean that we play Manor Solomon, but I still think that makes Madison an even better option because then you've still got the set piece threat and you're going to have somebody up there that could potentially be a bit more connected with him in terms of like those balls through that he's been playing that Richie hasn't quite read correctly or hasn't quite held. I don't think that Son necessarily goes in that position and immediately starts doing all of the Kane style things or what a traditional number nine would do. Like if you put, I don't know, someone like an Alvarez in there or a Haaland in there, then immediately you'd see those returns. But I think a bit like Rashford at Manchester United, we could see Son just being a little bit blunt in that attack.
I agree. I don't see it. I don't think he's going to take Richarlison out of the nine in the next few games and put Son there. He might if Son goes another five games, if Richarlison goes another five games without scoring. But he's not, like you say, he's not putting a prolific goal scorer at the moment in the number nine position. And he's losing a lot of what works in that number nine position. I think the Rashford comparison is an excellent comparison because Rashford is a brilliant player, but he does well coming off a striker. And that's what Richarlison brings to the team. He lets the other players around him get into the game because he holds the ball up well, because he's got the energy in the press up top, and that helps the wide players. I'd be very surprised if Son started playing up top. And I in answer to Tom's question, I'd want to see him playing up front and doing well there before I invested in him.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on this. I think that for me, Richarlison might not be banging the goals as a number nine.
That's an understatement.
But what he is doing is moving players around, opening the space, allowing the other players like Madison and to a certain extent players like Kulusevski on the other side, the defenders who come in and take those spaces, he's allowing them to be better options. Pape Sarr, all of that, a lot of that is working because of Richarlison in the number nine. Now, from an FPL perspective, Richarlison's terrible for us right now because he's not getting any of those attacking returns when Spurs get them. But for Spurs, he's actually doing a good job. It's just that he's not added the goals to his game yet. If he adds goals to his game, then fundamentally things change. The other thing is the transfer window doesn't close until tomorrow. We are in for certain players. If you get another better number nine that can do what Richarlison's doing, hold up the ball, you know, open up the play and finish his dinner, then that puts us in a nicer place from FPL. So I think Richarlison will start if it. There was some conversation about him being injured. Postecoglou sort of mentioned it, but I don't think
he got a little knock.
I don't think it's a big thing. It's just a knock.
Yeah.
Like I don't, and I think if anything, like he did score in the League Cup in midweek. So you know, has opened his score sheet for the season. That might just be the confidence boost that he needs. So I certainly wouldn't be kind of chucking him out and going for Son. Like if you have got Richarlison and you want to sell him for someone else, fine. But if you haven't got Richarlison and you're just looking for a way to invest in Spurs, then I don't overcomplicate it. Just get Madison.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely the thing. Don't buy Richarlison. But like the bone I'm going to pick with you, you promised me
Wow.
Peak
whoa, whoa, what
Brazil.
Wait.
You promised me R9. That's what you promised me. On our first Q&A of the season, you said you're going to get Brazil's Richarlison. He's going to get the golden boot.
No.
I might be exaggerating a little bit for effects. But you assured me I was going to get points. And I have not got points. I got a big fat zero last match.
So I did say that I thought we were going to get Brazilian Richarlison rather than Everton's Richarlison. I did say that. And I still do think that with time, we will get better performances from Richarlison, because with the creative players that he has around him, he will learn how to be in that Spurs team, and he will get better and he will get more confident and things will improve. Now, the bone I would pick back at you is that at Fest, I did specifically tell you and I showed you my team and I said I was sticking with Maddison because I trust him more. He's got creative route to points, et cetera, et cetera. And it was worth finding that 0.5. And I told that to Mr. Southerns as well, who, you know, just
saying. We both ignored you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You both ignored me and what happened. And I told Lee as well. So Lee, when he got to Fest, had put Richarlison in his team instead of Maddison. And I went and bashed him and said, what are you doing? Put Maddison back in again. I think with a player like Richarlison, it really is confidence. Now, the League Cup, all right, ended in defeat. But maybe that goal from a personal perspective might just be the thing that he needs. I think potentially what happened is we all got a little bit excited about Richarlison being a midfielder at 7 million and being the number 9 for Spurs. Whereas we hadn't seen that from him last season.
I'm sorry, I wasn't expecting a 20-point difference between Richarlison and Maddison after 3 weeks.
No, you know? No, I'd be honest, I wasn't either.
I thought one of them would... I thought if Maddison does well, that probably means Richarlison's going to do well as well because he'll be feeding him. Richarlison's playing up front. They've both got their perks. Maddison's got the set pieces. Richarlison's got the out of position impact. It's been a bit brutal. I mean, we have had some questions. I mean, Brett FPL is thinking of benching Richarlison this week. Or should he just get rid? It feels like having two free transfers after the break could be valuable. Keep, bench, or sell. There you go. There are your options with him.
I think if you've got him, you can't bench him. I think you could... right, so if you've got Richarlison and you don't have Maddison... then if you've got the 0.5, well, it's not 0.5 now, is it? It's 0.7 to swap. God. Then then yep. Swap. But I think if you've... I mean, look, it's Burnley. It's Burnley and then Sheffield United. Like, I don't think you could... That has got bench points written all over it. Because a lot of people will sell him this week.
You can't bench him. There's too many...
You just can't.
There's too many good mids around to be benching a mid. You know, you sell him for a free transfer as well. Mbeumo, Sterling, Maddison, like you say. You know, there's so many options to consider. So you can't bench him. I mean, I'm either selling him or starting him this week. I haven't decided.
I think it's that. Those are the markers, though.
Yeah.
It's either you sell... and you invest in Sterling, Maddison, anyone that you've just mentioned, or you play him.
If he's fit to start and Post is talking him up, I'm probably going to keep him.
I think, honestly, at this point...
He's got two promoted teams.
Exactly. I think, honestly, at this point, if you've still...
I'm never going to get rid of him. He's going to be like 6 million by the time I sell him.
Do you know what he is? He's your Darwin Nunes.
Oh, he is, yeah.
Do you remember? Because I had him for so long last season and I kept sticking loyal to this guy. And like for the life of me, every week I'd be like, I should sell you. And then I didn't. And it went on and on and on and on and on for weeks and weeks. I guarantee you, you still have Richarlison by the time you wildcard.
The thing is, I wouldn't mind. If I buy Maddison this week, which I could do Odegaard to Maddison, I think I'd feel less bad about Richarlison, because if Maddison carries on doing really well, I've got him and I'm happy, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas if Maddison's doing well, I haven't got him, and Richarlison's doing rubbish, that is like slapped doubly in the face.
There's also a chance that against these two newly promoted sides, that Maddison feeds Richarlison.
Yeah. If I bring in Maddison this week and Maddison feeds Richarlison, I am streaking down the street, you know?
Oh my God, you're coming to my house, aren't you? You're just going
to run to St. Albans.
just running along, and I'll be like, what is Az doing?
It'll be a long time before we see him do the chicken dance. Right, let's move off Richarlison and Spurs. Hopefully that's helpful. What was our kind of outcome? You either sell him or play him. He's probably still a sell, isn't he, realistically? But
I mean, yeah, he's 100% a sell. But if you're thinking, oh, I might just keep him and put him on the bench, no, you have to play it.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Thank you, DeKrill, for the super chat. Do get your super chats in. We will make sure to answer all of them. You can use a blank super chat there, but ask a question is normally the way to go with this. DeKrill did ask a question a couple down. I think he might have just not put that in. So I will answer this one. Which new players coming in the transfer window today and tomorrow will affect current FPL assets, both positively and negatively? You've talked about Spurs. Can I please talk about Brighton? Answer
Fatty. Oh my God, are you going to... Fatty and Gross. Come on then, let's
Fatty
hear about
Fatty and Gross
them.
Coming in. I'm really excited about this one. This is like...
I could tell.
This is a potentially, you know... I know it's only on loan, but this is a step above any other player we've ever signed at Brighton. He is...
Ever?
Well, he's widely regarded as one of the best young players in the world. You know? He's been... In and out of the Barcelona team for a while. I broke into that team quite young. He's been tipped to like go on and do great things. He's 20 years old. He's got 9 Spain caps to his name. He's had injuries, but you know, he's made 80 appearances for Barcelona before the age of 20. Like, that's crazy that we're even able to be in the reckoning for a player. That's the kind of player that I try and sign on Football Manager for my team. And you know, I get laughed at for even approaching the agent. Just like, of course not. Like, there's no way you're getting him. I'm really excited to see what happens with him. I don't know how him coming into the team does shake things up a bit, because where's he going to play? He's predominantly played on the left, which is where Matoma's played. I can't see him taking that spot because Matoma's too good in that position. So does that mean he comes into the middle? Well, that means Pedro's even less likely to start. Welbeck is less likely. Or does he move over to the right, and does that affect March? He's going to play pretty much every game he's available for, because he's going to be our best attacker.
Yeah. It's difficult, actually, isn't it? I mean, and maybe this is the right moment to talk about Brighton in terms of de-investment, because the fixtures now aren't as good. And there is a level of uncertainty as to who starts where. Like, if you are a Matoma owner, if you're a Gross owner, if you're a March owner, if, like me, you're a João Pedro owner. Although João Pedro, I think, is less of an issue. Unless João Pedro is your second striker and you absolutely have to play him because you haven't got a decent five in midfield and you don't have two good defenders on the bench. Like, but the reality is, I don't think many managers are in that position. Like, you could easily just play your Udogies or your Gustos or players like that who could, you know, and you should be playing this week. So actually you probably want to be benching players like João Pedro. So I think he's less of an issue, but the midfielders, the Matomas, the Grosses, the Marches, they're the ones, I think, because the fixtures aren't great. They can still get returns. I'm not saying that they can't, but you've got other midfielders in the same sort of price brackets who have got really, really nice fixtures that you could invest in and don't have that level of uncertainty as to where this new superstar is going to fit into that team.
Yeah. No, I agree with all of that. We've also signed Balibán as well from Lille, who's our kind of like Casado replacement. And I think that's been something we've been struggling in early.
Yeah, it's been missed.
You know, is keeping that control in the middle. We're getting countered on too easily. We still need a right back. It doesn't look like one's going to come in, but I don't think Veltman and Milner is enough there. But we have at least strengthened the midfield. We've strengthened the attack as well. And I think this is an opportunity, I think, like you say, just to maybe reconsider these assets a little bit going forward. I think they make us a better team, but for FPL, it maybe complicates things a little bit more. And I just want to see us play a few games with a more settled lineup, because we thought Pedro was nailed. And then after 1 week, he's dropped and we signed a replacement for him within the same window. It's all very weird. So Brighton, though, I think they impact the team positively, but FPL-wise, probably negatively, is what I say. Although Balaban should hopefully make a Stupinan a better pick. Any other transfer activity you think is notable today or tomorrow? Spurs getting Johnson, potentially?
Only if Spurs get Johnson. I think if Spurs get Johnson, then Richarlison looks worse again. It's probably needs dealing with. I mean, it depends, doesn't it? Like, Chelsea were in for a second goalkeeper. If you're a Sanchez owner, that might complicate things there. I guess that, look, sometimes things just come out of nowhere, don't they?
Palmer going to Chelsea came out of nowhere.
came out from literally nothing. It's like, why has that happened? Yeah. Like, that's random. So yeah, anyone that ends up going to one of these big clubs in the next 24 hours, if someone ends up at Man City, Spurs get a striker, I think then you've got to start looking at those options. And someone like Brennan Johnson, another out of position, if he ends up at Spurs, then and cheaper again, it puts you in another kind of interesting position, doesn't it? But yeah, I think for me, I'll just be watching and seeing what happens and then having a look over. Like, it's perfectly timed, right? Because transfer window closes after the game week 4 deadline, and then we've got international break to kind of just look at who's come in and how that might affect our players. And I don't think it have a huge impact on FPL squads is the reality. I think, you know, you might have one or two players that it affects.
It's hard to find players who are positively going to impact things, because at the moment we feel like we've kind of got a bit of a handle on it, but mm-hmm. Palmer at Chelsea maybe reduces Sterling's minutes. We've got Nunes coming into to City potentially. What does that mean for Foden as well, and Doku as well there? Does that complicate things as well? You know, Fatty coming into Brighton. I love that name so much. Coming into Brighton. You know, there's it complicates matters quite a lot. So yeah, I think again, there's when there's a big signing and a Johnson coming in, it is going to be a bit of a wait and see. But that's why you pick the main men in the side. That's why Richarlison, who is not the main man at Spurs, versus Maddison, is a complete no brainer. More than I thought it was kind of at the start of the season.
But I can understand why you did that. Yeah, I'm not season. Like, don't be bitter about it.
I say I'm not beating myself up by it. I definitely am, because I'm devastated. Eze, a few questions on Eze. Lilas says thoughts on Eze. Suyog says, is keeping faith over Eze going forward okay? Or should I be looking to bring in someone like Foden and Mbeumo?
Right, so I have interesting thoughts on Eze, because the fixture's really nice. So Wolves, Aston Villa, Fulham, the next three. Now, Aston Villa's tough, but at Wolves and Fulham should easily be able to get returns there. My massive, massive issue is that he is great, but the rest of his team...
that's not really an issue. He's great. End.
But the rest of Palace's attack...
Yeah, they're terrible.
They're just not. So you can be as great... Like, he's almost the reverse of Richarlison. Like, so he's good and everyone else around him, not so much. Richarlison, he's not so great. Everyone else doing bits. So, and this is my problem with Eze, is that, you know, my Max had Richarlison, no, he didn't, he had Eze to start the season. And I, at the time, I was like, that's a great pick, because he's going to be the main man without Zaha there. But the problem is that being the main man, basically when you're the only man in the attack... isn't great. So the fixtures are good, they're there, but those midfield five spots are so precious that I don't think you can hold Eze.
Did you sell him this week? Can't though? Carry him. Home to Wolves? You think you're selling this week?
Well, I think if you're selling for Sterling or Maddison or Bowen, who've got equally as nice fixtures, I think you do.
I'm divided on Eze, because I completely agree with you. And I said...
you watched him live, right?
Last week. I said on Black Blocks last night. I saw him live, and it's pretty clear that he's like 10 times better than anyone else in that Palace side, you know? And in some ways, that makes him a great option, because he's the best player at the team, and all the stuff's going to go through him, and he's the talisman by far. He's on penalties and all that. I think he's been unlucky so far this season. I think he could have had returns in that first game. His XG was one of the best in the league, I think, in that first game. He should have had a penalty against Arsenal, I think, as well. The Brentford game was a bit all over the place, but he had a couple of runs. The difficulty is, against better opposition, they'll just mark him out of the game. I'm sure they will. They'll have a plan for him. Will Wolves have a plan with him, losing, you know, two quite key players from their side? I know they've done well. They've got the win against Everton, but...
Anyone
should be able to win against Wolves as well. I still think they're going to be in trouble this year. I wouldn't sell Eze this week. I think Eze could go pretty big against Wolves.
Okay, but do you think that Eze could go bigger against Wolves than Maddison could go against Burnley, or than Sterling could go, or than Mbeumo or Bowen against Luton?
I think he has potential to, because it's Wolves.
I don't know.
I think selling Eze before a home game against Wolves is risky.
I think that game's got 0-0 written all over it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I just think Wolves will come... I just think that that's going to be another... Palace might win it 1-0, But I don't think that Palace are going to smash Wolves. I really don't. So in that case, yes, Eze probably is involved in the goal. I just don't think Palace have got smashing someone in their locker right now. Don't think they're scoring enough goals.
But if they are to get a goal, it's going to be him. And surely they get a goal against Wolves. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, but one goal against Wolves versus the amount that, you know, that West Ham could score against Luton, or Spurs could score against Burnley, or Chelsea can score. Like, I just think that when you look at the other midfielders, like, they're arguably your midfielders every week, with the way that they're mostly playing, should be getting double-digit hauls every week. And if they're not, then I think you have to look at who else could replace them. And for me, if I'm looking at a midfield, unless you've got Richarlison and Eze in the same midfield, or you've got somebody else that's not been performing well in that midfield over Eze, or you've got Trent at the back, or you've got, you know, a non-playing second, I don't know, forward. Unless you've got a bigger issue, then you're probably looking at strengthening your midfield. I'd argue that of the popular midfielders, Eze is the worst pick with Richarlison right now. So when you're looking at your midfield and you're thinking about who you should transfer in and out, even with that game against Wolves, he would still be up there as a sell for me.
Okay. I think give him one more week. You think so? And again, like I said earlier, Sam's 46K. Listen to her.
So it certainly wouldn't bring him in. Don't bring Eze in.
I wouldn't bring him in. I just think, you know, that the fixtures are a bit of a mixed bag, but this one is a particularly good one. I think anyone at home to Wolves this week is a decent one. And it's not the same as... I mean, I sold Fernandes this week ahead of Forest and everyone thought I was an idiot. But I used the money from that to strengthen elsewhere. Whereas you're going to be moving Eze either up to a Madison or sideways to like Mbeumo or Sterling. Yeah. And that you know, there's a difference between selling an expensive player and moving the money around. Whereas Eze, just like for like, 1 week. I think Eze could do as well as the others. But I do appreciate where you're coming from. Damien Brains, I mean, the most pointless super chat ever. Rugby World Cup in 8 days. Who cares?
I don't really know what that even means, so fine.
Sorry, Damien, you've wasted your 14 czar. because I don't care.
I don't really understand. Okay, I'm not a rugby kid. I don't understand rugby.
Seems, I mean, 32-12. Don't understand what the... High scoring.
What does that even mean, 32-12? Do we lose? I don't know.
I could not care less. Sorry if there's any rugby fans in the chat, but I literally could not care less about rugby.
So it's a sport I don't even know the rules.
I know. It's stupid. It's a stupid game.
It's the wrong shape.
It's a made-up game, as they say in Peep Show.
Sometimes you throw it over the thing. Sometimes you bang it on the floor. I don't. What's even that thing called? Is it a goal? I don't know.
My school was a big rugby school and I hated it. Everyone was bigger than me. I did tackle the biggest guy in our year once.
Did it go well?
Well, I say tackled. I kind of just stood there and he ran into me. But everyone cheered me and I felt really good. But I didn't. I hated that game so much.
I went to a girls' school. We didn't play rugby.
Yeah, you did well. I don't think you missed out much. Raul Pinto, we have already answered this one, I think, already. But Marcelli to Madison for a hit to be a bit aggressive. You said yes. I said no, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. That's the answer. Well,
being a bit aggressive makes sense, I think.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I'm not like 100% no. Like I said, I'm thinking of selling Odegaard this week, potentially for a hit. I just think you give Marcelli...
because you want to get rid of Richarlison as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I know. I just think you give Marcelli Everton away. Having two Arsenal mids for that game is tempting, and Marcelli's a better option than Odegaard, I think. But not much in it. And like I said, if in doubt, listen to Sam.
It's a lot of pressure on me now.
There is. Well, stop doing so bloody well. Come down to 2 million and then we can take some pressure off. Sitting at 46K after 3 weeks makes me look a right mug.
Oh, I do love you. You're the best.
Whose idea were these? Bring about this Q&A. God.
I think it was ours. I know. Well,
I didn't think you'd start this season so strongly.
No, basically what you thought is that I'd be absolutely awful like I was at this time last season and you'd be able to just sit here and be like, yeah,
not even awful, just be middle of the road. Just be, you know, be a million at this stage and it's fine. 46, yeah, you've got your eyes on winning it. Have a good week. Yeah, no pressure.
I want to get manager of the month. No, that's never happening.
Rhea Tolstoy, is Bowen going under the radar? Thank you for the super chat. Rhea, you love him, don't you, this week? You think he's going to be big point scorer?
Yeah, I do seem to have joined the Jared Bowen fan club. I don't quite know I don't quite know why I've gone so hard on Bowen this week, but it's one of those players, I think, that has just impressed me in the opening three game weeks of the season. Like, I haven't really been impressed by West Ham that much, usually, over the last year in particular. But I watched the game, sorry to bring this up, but I watched the game against Brighton, and Brighton were by far the better team. Like, they were by far the better team. But I was impressed by West Ham's tactics and how they dealt with Brighton.
Yeah.
And when watching that, it allowed Bowen to be, in the counter-attack moments, to be brilliant in the way that he was a couple of seasons ago for us. And then I look at his away form, which has been so much better. I mean, I know we're only three game weeks into the season, so we can't really yet talk fully about form. But game week 3, away at Brighton, 12 points. Game week 1, away at Bournemouth, 9 points. And then when I look at the fixture, he's got to go away to Kenilworth Road, the first Premier League fixture of the season. Luton will want to
attack,
impress their home fans. They're not going to sit there and try and park the bus at home in the first ever Premier League game at Kenilworth Road. So the West Ham defence I'd stay clear of. But with Bowen, I think that's going to allow him space. He's going to have opportunities. He's going to be in all the right places at all the right times. He's averaging 7.7 points per match. He's had more goal attempts, more shots on target, everything. His stats are above every other West Ham player. Now, you could go cheaper. You could go with James Ward-Prowse. I think all the West Ham attackers are potentially going under the radar for this Luton game. The caveat is that past the Luton game, you've got Man City and
Liverpool. Yeah.
So you do it. You're doing it for a week. So make sure that it's not for a hit, because I don't think a hit's going to be worth it for one game week. And have a strategy that says, right, well, I'm basically going to hokey-cokey Bowen in and out, because I don't think you want to hold him.
Do you think that's worth it? I don't like the hokey-cokey strategy with mids.
Okay, so imagine the scenario is that you've got four really nice defenders. You've got Chilwell, you've got, I don't know, Estupiñán, you've got Ndogi, you've got whoever it is. You've got a nice defence that you can play. You've got five midfielders that you're happy with, and you've got Haaland, and then you've got a couple of rubbish.
I can't even imagine this scenario, Sam. It's so far from what my team is at the moment.
Okay, so this is basically my team.
Oh, right? Here we go, yeah. If you're 46k in the world and you've got a luxury transfer, yeah.
No, okay. So, like this morning on the official pod, I was chatting to Kelly, and she's got a situation where she's got two not so great forwards, as in she's got like Archer, who actually now I think is becoming a decent option because now he's got his move, and João Pedro alongside Haaland, and then a midfield five. If you've got Eze in that midfield five and you want to play your four defenders, so you want to go 4-5-1. Then I think that there is scope to go for a punt on Bowen this week, because then you just move him on the week after. Poor I don't Eze. Think that's an issue.
Got in for Eze on this stream.
I don't know why.
Get him out for anyone.
He's just an example. Richarlison's
a good.
Richarlison's another one, right?
If you've already got Maddison in place, and
you've got Maddison. Yeah. Exactly. I think that there is a potential, you know, this week, if you've got. Even if you've got Jackson, right, as your second, or you've got Ollie Watkins or whoever you've got as a second striker, so you want to play 5-2, and you've got someone you're not happy with in your midfield, but everything else in your team works, then I think a punt on Bowen is decent for this week, because next week you just move him on to somebody else. Like, you just use your transfers for that. In my view, right now, the best way to get massive jumps is to pick on the differentials. Now, Bowen's a differential. He's owned by 7.7% of the game. So you can get on him this week. You can enjoy the Luton points, which I'm certain are going to come.
I'm going to throw this back to you then. A question from Lex. Ideal midfield five without Sterling on a wild card. Do you put Bowen in the five then? Because if what you're saying is true, right, and you could build a perfect team and then hokey-cokey him out next week.
If I was wildcarding right now, I'd put Bowen in.
Okay, good.
I'd put Bowen in, take him out for game week 5 and 6, and then potentially think to bring him back in again for the Sheffield United game in 7.
So I'm guessing your midfield five would be, I don't know why I'm trying to guess yours, but I'll say what mine is. Mine would probably be Rashford, Saka, Maddison, obviously. Mbeumo Bowen?
I'd probably go Bruno over Rashford, but yeah, roughly. Okay.
But a Man U midfielder, Saka.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, that's and then point. Madison. And then, yeah, I think, you know, if you really don't want Mbeumo for whatever reason, I don't know what that reason would be on wildcard, but there are others you could go to in that 6.5 bracket. But I like the Bowen pick for this Luton game.
So,
I really do.
I know the question here says, specifically says no Sterling, but if you included Sterling, would he take the place of any of those five? It's Mbeumo or Bowen, isn't it?
So, yes, I think it is. But then having said that, like, I think what the debate that's still raging in my mind is that because the midfields are so contentious, if you don't want to have Sterling, you just have Jackson instead up top, and it allows you to invest in the Chelsea attack that way, which I wouldn't want to do that at West Ham. Like, I don't think I don't like Antonio as a pick as much as I like Bowen, for example, but Sterling and Jackson, I think, is a little bit more, it's closer.
So, but you wouldn't go with Sterling on a wildcard? Or you'd go...
If I was wildcarding right now, I don't think I would have Sterling. I think I would, because I like the midfield that I've got. Mm. So I wouldn't find space for him, which would probably mean I'd go Jackson up top.
That's a big call. Particularly because of team value as well. Like, Sterling's just going to keep rising in price every week.
But I also think that Jackson could do that because now Jackson's got his first goal in the bag. I wonder whether we might just see that confidence start to grow now.
I'm not sold on this Bowen plan. You can have that. I don't want it.
I'll
just pick Sterling. Yeah, at me. Well, I think Bowen's going to do well this week, but at me in 3 weeks when you've actually used a transfer.
But that's what we're saying. But I don't think they'd be using a transfer such a thing anymore because everything... Like, I know that you've got some issues that you've got to deal with, like Richarlison or whatever, but for a lot of people, they're not looking... There's not a load of transfers that they want to make because the cheap bench options are just sitting there quite happily being bench options. Like, if you've got Archer sat on your bench, then you're actually fine now.
I think you're sitting in your diamond palace of riches at 46k and you've forgotten where you've come from. Peasants like us have got issues. I mean, look at the next super chat we've got. Play Baldock or free transfer out Gabriel. Look, this is the kind of question I'm having to deal with. I'm playing George Baldock. He might be in Greece today, for all I know. Sunning it up, waiting for a move to bloody Athens. And then you've got Gabriel, who hasn't started for no reason, despite playing 73 games, and you're here saying bring in Bowen for a week. Honestly.
Oh, Az, this has just descended into chaos again. Right, okay.
Move off Bowen. Let's help Stephen with a real, you know, a real peasant issue. I'm sorry, Stephen. I don't like to call you a peasant, but, you know, it's
yeah, you can't.
It's
only, it's only to
emphasise the point. I mean, I'm in a similar boat. I've got to play Baldock this week.
Made me cry.
Or play an Arsenal defender. I mean, I've got Saliba who can come in. Gabriel, he's got to go, isn't he? He's got to go.
Yeah. So I also am considering playing Baldock this week, by the way. I'm also considering selling Baldock this week. This is how confused I am by Baldock. So there's a place in this world where I sell Baldock. There's a place in this world where I start him.
How has it come to this?
I don't know. Because I want to play my five midfielders. I want to play my two strikers. I mean, somebody's got to come off. Like, I don't like Saliba against Manchester United. I really don't like cue Saliba goal. But I don't like that, really. I want to bench him, I think. And I want a Spurs defender. So I think selling Baldock for...
There's some words I never thought I'd hear someone say.
Tell me about it. There's some words I never thought I'd say because... Spurs defence, not normally that great. But I do want a Spurs defender. So Van de Ven is my preferred. You'll hear me say that on the official pod if you listen to it. But anyway, that's an aside. So selling Baldock, I think, makes sense in my head. But also playing Baldock makes sense. But there is a big worry to me that the transfer window closes after the game week 4 deadline. And he is quite heavily linked with a move to Athens. Now, if that happens after the deadline... then Steven's got an issue because he's played Baldock, he's benched Gabriel, and then Gabriel's not coming on. So you've got a problem.
I'm screwed if he passes.
My view is that you sell Gabriel.
Yeah, no.
And then you play Baldock, It depends on who you bring in. But I would sell Gabrielle. If you don't have an Udogi or a Chelsea defender, then you invest there. Or you move across to from Gabrielle to Saliba and have that ready for next week. And then you bench Saliba, play Baldock. And then if Baldock has left, Saliba comes on instead. Like,
I think Gabrielle to Udogi is all Van de Ven or whoever. But my preference is Destiny. But I just think that's such a that is not going to backfire.
Easy, isn't it?
And I know Gabriel will score.
It could backfire,
but it shouldn't do like that. I like the transfers that are almost 100%. It's never 100%, but like 90% likely going to be a good move. Gabriel's going to keep dropping. Adogi's going to keep rising. He's got the assist. He's playing attacking. Spurs have got good fixtures. You're getting rid of a problem to bring in a cheap asset before it becomes 5 million probably in a month's time. I really like that move. I would also sell Gabriel for a free and avoid the Baldock headache, which again I can't believe. Look at this comment, Sam, from Jay Mirror. Play Pedro or Cabore. You see, people are struggling. We can't be dancing around with Bowen when we've got issues like Pedro or play Pedro or Cabore. I mean, how is Jay in that position? What a horrible decision to make.
They're both on my bench, both of these guys. I don't want to play either of them this week. Cabore. So if Baldock, if it all falls through with Baldock moving to Athens, then I'll probably sell Cabore over selling Baldock, to be honest. I mean, you've got to have a transfer that you can use to deal with this, so that you don't have to play either of these two, surely. Like, I'd far rather sell Pedro for Cameron Archer and play Cameron Archer than I would Pedro right now. And I'd sell Cabore for literally anybody else. And play them.
Cabore is a wing back, isn't it? Against West Ham.
Yeah, but
I'd play Cabore.
What have you seen from Cabore that makes you think he's going to suddenly become a peak FPL wing back?
Nothing, but we've got limited options here, Sam. We've got Pedro or Cabore. Pedro is so far on the naughty step now that, you know, he's never getting back in the team. We've just gone and signed a fatty to not play him.
Off the two, I'd play Cabore over Pedro, because Cabore is going to start and Pedro's not. Unless De Zerbi comes out and says, I'm starting Pedro this week.
Yeah, he's not going to do that.
Play Pedro, but he's not
going
to do that.
There's absolutely no way he's doing that.
No, correct. So play Cabore over Pedro is what I would do, because you're going to get a starter more chance of, you know, he's going to get 90 minutes. However, my preference would be that you deal with your transfers so that this isn't a thing that you have to do. Like, use your transfer to deal with this.
To be fair on Jay, it's not easy. When Pedro's 5-5 and there's not many options around him, and when Cabore's 4 million, that's not, if you've got no money in the bank, that's not an easy move to make. You've got to free up funds from somewhere else. And then you're taking hits.
But unless you've got Salah, I can't believe that your team, unless you've got Haaland and Salah
I haven't got Salah and I haven't got either of these players.
So this is the point. I think you have these players, both of them. I mean, I've got both of them, but I've got a lot of money in the bank. Mm. But you have these two players if you've got Salah.
Well, Jay is, you know, this is what I mean. Your Diamond Palace is coming through again, because Jay has got this dilemma. He's struggling. He's got Pedro or Cabore he's got to play. He's crying right now, having to play one of them.
But what I'm saying is take a -4 so you don't have to play one of them.
So you think take the hit to avoid playing one of them?
I would take a hit to avoid playing either of these, because I would fairly certain that Pedro's going to get one, and I'm fairly certain that Cabore is also going to get one.
I think you're probably right.
Take a hit with your transfers, free up some money and improve these positions.
Unless Jay's already made a transfer.
Can you get back in the chat and tell us if you've made a transfer already?
I think we can answer it fine. If he's already made a transfer, then you play Cabore. If you've not made a transfer, you take a hit to get rid of them.
You not sell Pedro and get Archer?
Oh, he has. So he's already done Richarlison to Madison.
Okay.
Money not an issue.
Yeah, see, this money's not an issue. He lives in a Diamond Palace as well. He's got loads of money stacked up.
Yeah, take the hit. Get rid of Pedro.
Take the hit. Deal with it. Get Jackson. Get
Alvarez.
Watkins. Take the hit to deal
Vissa,
with Pedro.
Visser. Home to Bournemouth. Loads of good options.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. Right. I'm going to call it there. thank you, everyone, for putting up with us again.
Hang on, what have I done?
You've alienated 9/10 of the community with your spiel.
You've called them all peasants.
Yeah, between us, we've got no one left.
Everyone hates us now. It's just you and me.
Yeah, I know.
Even Yelena doesn't like me anymore because I said your hair was nice. Now she's like, stop flirting with my boyfriend. Leave me alone.
Did you see her recent stream with your giant courgette you gave her?
I did. Yeah. And I liked the picture of it, her holding it like a proud mum, cuddling it like it's a baby. Yeah, I'm quite good at growing courgettes, apparently, everyone.
Yeah, I know. Who knew?
They go massive. Who knew? It's a skill.
We have got one more super chat before we go. We will take this one from Joe Erkinen. He has the same rank as you. Well, good.
There you go, you see.
Good for you, Joel.
He lives in the next door neighbour. Diamond Palace.
Here's a Diamond Palace choice. Gusto or Estupinan. Who to bench?
Estupinan.
Yeah, I think I agree.
It's really tough. But I think Estupinan has got less chance of a clean... They've both got the same potential for attacking returns. But Estupinan's chance of a clean sheet is less, is what I'd argue.
I think Estupinan's got a better chance of returns. I think Gusto was lucky to get 2 assists in that game. I would bench Gusto.
It's a Brighton fan.
I'd bench Gusto. I think Newcastle beat us at the weekend.
You bench Gusto? Because you think Newcastle will beat Brighton? That makes no sense. No. What did you just say?
I said I'd play Gusto.
Bench Gusto.
I meant I'd play Gusto.
I was like, what? It doesn't make any sense.
Target the clean sheet. But I don't feel happy about benching Estupinan because he's played really well and he's very advanced. But I think you've got to play the fixture. And
I agree.
Yeah, not an easy one. Hopefully you don't get a bench of Estupinan like Mark had on Match of the Day Challenge when he benched him for his 12-pointer.
Yeah, and that could easily happen. Yeah. Like, because he does have a haul in him against big clubs. We saw that against Arsenal, right? So he has potential for a haul. I just think that you've got to play the fixture, and Estupinan against Newcastle, I would expect Newcastle to score more than I would Nottingham Forest to score against Chelsea. So play the fixture, play Gusto, and hope that you get another haul out of Gusto.
Yep, agreed.
And you avoid one from Estupinan.
Thank you, says Joel Erkinen, and you're very welcome. Focal in the chat. Whoa, Sam's top 50k. Killing it. Yes, she is, but let's not let it go to her head. We've got 500 people watching. Thank you all for tuning in. We will be back. I think we're going to do an international break one, aren't we?
We are. So come and see my fall from grace.
Yep. So hopefully Sam will be 1 million next week. No,
I don't mean that.
I'm sorry. I don't mean that. I hope you go on and push up to the top 1K this.
I hope that you are at 1 million by next time, and that you're not calling people peasants, and that everything's well, and that you've signed Fatty. You've got Fatty and Gross up top, and everything's with the world.
It's ridiculous that if I half my rank, I'll be like not even in the top million. Whereas if you half your rank, you won't even notice a difference. You'll be 23K compared to 46. Oh dear.
But there you are. And I hope, do you know what I really hope for you? I hope for a Richarlison haul. There you go.
Yeah, and I'll probably have sold him when that comes.
No, come on now. Stick with the pigeon. Hope for the best.
Oh, God. Is it a pigeon or is it a chicken?
He's a pidge.
He's a pigeon. Yeah. That's why he's on the roof of the Spurs stadium.
Yeah, he's a pigeon.
God, why the hell have I got him in my team? What was I thinking? Anyway, thank you, everyone. Do give the stream a like. Do check out Fantasy Football Scout as well. Check out all the tools and offerings they've got as a member. And Sam and I will be back next week.
Thanks, guys.